Hello, and welcome to the check-in for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for being here today. You've heard this probably since your grade school civics classes, right? That voting is one of the most important parts of a democracy. It's how you exercise your right as a citizen. And this election season, that sacred American act of voting has become embroiled in our nation's politics. We have accusations of voter fraud and others highlighting disenfranchisement of some citizens who might have less access to ballots and voting booths. But surely the importance of fair, secure voting for everyone is something we can all agree on. Today, we're checking in with our top county and state election officials and voting advocates to break down the mechanics and process of that great American tradition, voting. You can join us. How do you plan to vote? Are you concerned about voting safely? You can call us at 573-882-4991, and we'll be right back after this. Hi, this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for being here today. We're talking about voting in Missouri, as in the rest of the country. There are debates going about how we can make sure everyone gets a chance to vote and to vote safely and securely. And we're joined first this hour by our state's top election official, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. Secretary Ashcroft, thanks so much for joining us today and welcome back to The Check-In.
I'm here. I hope you can hear me. Thanks for having me on.
We can hear you now. Sorry about the snafus getting you on this morning. Thank you so much for your patience, Secretary Ashcroft. Let me just start.
Thanks for having me. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So you wrote in the Springfield News Leader recently that with all of the concerns that we've had about the post office, about voting in a pandemic, about the mail-in ballot options, that you wrote, quote, the sky is not falling. Votes will be counted in Missouri. And you advise voters to just, if you're going to mail in your ballot or vote absentee, fill out the form early, mail it on in. But let me know, do you think that that's easy enough? Is it as easy as that? Sometimes people don't have internet access. They don't have transportation. They're elderly people. We tend to think that voting is easy for all of us. Disabled people, marginalized communities can have a harder time voting. Do you think that people will have equal access to mail-in voting right now as things stand?
Yeah, I think anyone that wants in the state of Missouri, as long as they're a registered voter, they can request a mail-in ballot. Now, I don't suggest that people use the mail-in ballot. We've had three successful in-person elections. So what I tell people is if you can go in person, it's better to go vote in person. I personally love the joy of hearing the scanner tabulate my vote and know that it's been cast. That's the best way to vote. It's the best way to make sure that your vote will count. But if you can't go to the election authority on election day, you're allowed to use an absentee ballot. Absentee ballots you can request. You can just download the form, or we have them at various places. Your local election authority has them. You can fill that out. If you have a cell phone, you can even take a picture of it and then email it back in so you're not waiting on the post office to deliver that absentee ballot request to your local election authority. With absentee ballots, you can do an in-person vote if you can go there, just not on election day. If you can't, you can go ahead and either mail it back. You can have an immediate family member drop it off. You can drive by the courthouse. I know Brianna Lennon would be extremely happy if you said, hey, I'm concerned about COVID, but I've got my absentee ballot. Can I drop it off? I'm sure she'd send someone out to your car to help you with that. And, of course, a lot of people don't realize that with in-person voting, we also have curbside voting. So there are people that want to go there. They don't want to have to worry about the U.S. Post Office and know that their vote will count. You can vote from your car and do curbside voting also to be safe.
Okay, that sounds great. Let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to KBIA. We're talking with Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. He's our state's top election official. He's happy to take your questions. How are you planning to vote this November? We're going through the mechanics, how you can do this if you want to mail in or do absentee. And also later, we've got Clerk Brianna Lennon joining us. Secretary Ashcroft, the legislature has approved and Governor Parson has signed into law legislation expanding mail-in voting for those who are impacted through illness by COVID, but some groups want to more access, really, for anyone who doesn't feel safe. You're saying you prefer people to vote in person. Why would you not want to expand mail-in voting to everyone right now? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the best reason for that is I want every registered voter to be able to vote and to know that their vote will count. And what you see is about 2%, 2 to 3%, but generally a lot closer to 2% of the people. And it's not just in Missouri. But as you vote by mail, 2 to 3%, closer to 2% of those ballots get rejected. If you go vote in person, you get to run your ballot through the scanner. It's tabulated. It drops into the bottom. It can't be pulled out. You know that your vote counted.
Okay.
As we are requesting more people to vote by mail, for every 50 people that we get to vote by mail that would have voted in person, historically that means one of those 50 will have their vote not count. I just don't think that's appropriate. I want them all to count.
You heard us mention in the intro a little bit that it seems like voting has taken on a partisan tenor, which is really a shame because it seems like surely we can all agree that everyone wants, votes to be as accessible for everyone and as secure for everyone as possible. And it seems like Republicans seem to fall on the line of being more concerned about voter fraud, while progressive groups are more concerned with voter rights. Studies consistently show that all kinds of voter fraud are rare, and mail-in voting is maybe less rare, but still quite rare. Looking at the actual data, Secretary Ashcroft, where do you fall on this? Would you say voter access is more of a problem than voter fraud?
Well, first thing we have to realize is it's not an either or. If voters don't have access, then it's the same effect as voter fraud on them. They haven't been allowed to vote. And if we allow voter fraud to occur, then we're taking away people's right to vote because their vote is getting canceled out. And I think that far too often we look at it as an either or and say, instead of saying, how do we make sure people can vote and their vote will count and other people aren't voting twice or the Russians or the Chinese aren't messing with our elections? When you want to talk about the safety and security of mail-in ballots, we haven't had them for a long time in Missouri, but we have had absentee ballots. And you only have to go back to our last presidential election year when in the city of St. Louis, 4 years ago, we had a state representative race overturned because of all the, irregularities with absentee ballots. People saying, I didn't vote, and yet there's an absentee ballot with my name on it. I never requested one. There were hundreds of people that were saying that, and a judge in St. Louis City overturned that election where Penny Hubbard had won maybe 52 to 48, that range, ordered a new election, and in that new election, Penny Hubbard lost about 75% to 25%. So we do know that fraud and irregularities occur. I understand that there's one side that wants to say that there's tens of millions of fraudulent ballots, and there's another side that says it never happens. In Missouri, we have had elections changed because of irregularities with voting. And when you change the outcome of an election because of that, you've taken away the rightful privilege of the voters of the state to make that decision, and that's wrong.
Well, journalists need to sort through the evidence on this. I mean, you're mentioning some irregularities of voting in Missouri. From what I've seen, Secretary Ashcroft, looking at 2000 and the year 2000 in Florida, there was extensive, that's going back a while, but there have been extensive sort of voter fraud efforts that have led to thousands of people being unable to vote. I was just reading in the New Yorker, if you look at the year 2000, which decided a presidential election, they said around 22,000 people were not allowed to vote, were not given access because of a felony purge effort that found 40 felons. So that's 40 felons were found, and thousands in Florida in 2000, which, decided the presidential election. So I feel like it can take a long time to sort out the data on these things. But I mean, let me just leave you with this question. You believe we should be making voting as secure and as easy as possible for everyone. Why don't you leave us with some thoughts on that? Why not make it super, super easy for everyone to vote mail-in who don't necessarily have access? It is a process. You have to print out these forms, mail them in. Would you agree we should just make it really easy?
Well, first of all, it is really easy. But I will disagree with the idea that we should make it easy for people to vote and do so in a structure where ballots will be lost and votes will not be counted. I believe as an election authority, I have a responsibility to work to make sure that it's not only easy to vote, but your vote actually counts.
Right.
And when one out of every 50 on average is not having their ballot count when we push people to do it by mail, that's a problem. We should not be doing that. We should be making sure that people can easily vote and their vote will count. And that's why I am firmly recommending to people that they do in person. If they can't go to the polling place on election day, do absentee in person. If they can't do that, then yes, do an absentee or a mail-in ballot depending on your circumstances. But I'm not going to suggest to people that they vote in such a way that their vote will not count. That's just not proper.
All right. Secretary Ashcroft, thank you so much for hashing through all these issues with us. We so appreciate your time and your patience being with us today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks. This is The Check-In. We will be right back after a quick break. We're going to talk with Boone County Clerk Brianna Lennon. We hope to also have Marilyn McLeod. She's with the League of Women Voters on the line with us today. That's right after this on The Check-In. You are listening to The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. Today's topic, voting. It is where the rubber hits the road in any democracy and in the current election season. This aspect of our democracy has become politicized. How do we make sure everyone has simple access to voting? And does simple access mean compromising voter security? Do you worry more about everyone getting the right to vote with equal access to the polls and to ballots, or are you worried about voter fraud? So today we have some really fantastic guests helping us to work through these issues. They work on voter education, voter access, and the mechanisms of voting. Brianna Lennon is Boone County Clerk, our county's top election official. Welcome back to The Check-In, Brianna Lennon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. We also have with us Marilyn McLeod. She is with the League of Women Voters, which is a national bipartisan group that organizes candidate and voter forums and works to expand voter access for citizens nationally and also here in mid-Missouri. Welcome, Marilyn McLeod, to The Check-In.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you both with us. So you both, hopefully, were able to hear a little bit of that conversation with Secretary Jay Ashcroft. Brianna, let me ask, you've worked on the state level in a recent bipartisan effort that you had to expand mail-in voting, and there was legislation passed. Before we get into the landscape of Boone County and the voting mechanisms and what people can expect, can I just get your response first, Brianna, to Secretary Ashcroft's views just now on the options for Missouri voters? He's really coming down with a very clear preference for people, which is to go to the polls. What do you think of that?
I think the most important thing is making sure that every voter is aware of all of the options that we have, and choosing one in an informed way that works for them. So I always let people know that there really are three ways that people can vote, and we take precautions and security measures for all three of them. They can vote absentee by mail or mail-in by mail. They can vote absentee in our office, and they can vote at the polling place. And any of the three options that they choose, we do everything necessary to make sure that the voter has a good experience and that their vote is counted. And that includes for any of the ballots that are mailed in. If there is a problem, and we're encouraging everybody to, if they are going to do that, to send in their request now, to send back their ballot as soon as possible, not wait till the deadline. It gives us time to reach out to voters to help fix any kind of problems that might turn up. If they have forgotten to sign it, if they needed to get it notarized and they didn't, we can reach out to them let them correct that mistake. And so that way, when we are processing the ballots before the election and counting the actual ballots on election day, then their voice can be heard.
Okay. Marilyn McLeod, give us your response if you were able to hear some of that conversation with Secretary Jay Ashcroft, who would really like people to vote in person, although he says it's easy to vote mail-in as well. What is your response to that?
Well, I have to agree with Brianna, really. It's up to the individual. Everybody has a different circumstance, what their health is, what their work situation is, you know, their availability to go to the polls. So whatever is easiest for them, I think we want to make the voting process as easy and just so that voters feel successful at what they do and proud of their vote.
Marilyn, you have, well, both of you have watched the state legislature's passage of the recent bill, and the governor signed it into law, that expands mail-in voting for all Missourians, but you'd like the state to do more. Can you explain what's passed and what you'd like to see expanded, if anything, to allow voters easier access to voting? Brianna, can I get your take on the legislation first?
Sure. So when this topic really came up in April and in May, when the clerks were trying to work towards something that would work for all voters, the general consensus was what we really needed was something that allowed voters to cast a ballot in a way that they didn't have to choose their health and their safety over their right to vote. And we tried to strike a balance in pushing for a absentee excuse that allowed for voting during a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So that is the part, when I'm looking at the passage of the law, that is the part that tends to apply to the majority of voters that are interested in voting absentee in the first place. So anybody in the new COVID-19 at-risk category, if you're a voter over 65 years old, if you're immunocompromised, if you've already had COVID-19, those are people that can vote absentee, and they do not have to have their ballot notarized. They can bring it directly back to our office if they want to, or they can put it in the mail. The Clerks Association in general has been pushing for no excuse absentee for a number of years. There's been a bipartisan effort to try to accomplish no excuse absentee voting, particularly because historically we've had the most absentee turnout as an in-person absentee situation. So if we had no excuse absentee voting, then people could come to our office, take care of their ballot, and do it on their own time in a convenient way that works for them. It also helps with elections administration. So one of the other reasons why we want these things to happen is because when we know that we have to take precautions on election day at the polling places, and we're going to have high turnout, it helps to try to spread the wealth of the number of voters turning out, that if some are mailing in, if some are voting absentee in person, then we can adequately prepare to make sure that we have the staffing needs that we need, the polling place requirements that we need, so that everyone has a good experience on election day as well.
All right. Let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to The Check-In, and we are talking about voting. It's kind of important. How are you planning to vote in November? Do you feel safe voting in person, as Secretary Jay Ashcroft would prefer people to say, to go ahead and vote in person and have that experience? But he says it's easy to vote mail-in as well. But we're talking with Boone County Clerk Brianna Lennon. We're also talking to League of Women Voters Marilyn McLeod about expanding it to make it even easier to vote by mail. Marilyn, the League of Women Voters is with the NAACP and others suing to win a judgment, I believe. And correct me if I get this wrong, but I believe it's that COVID concerns and physical distancing are in themselves reason not enough to vote absentee in Missouri. So they'd like to see sort of that no excuse needed expansion for voting absentee or mail-in, and also preventing election officials from requiring a notary signature on ballots, I believe. Can you let us know what this effort is about, where it stands, and where it stands right now?
Well, the effort is to end the requirement for the notary, because you realize going to a notary can be a health and safety issue as well for some people. So although we're happy that the no excuse mail ballot is possible this year, obviously we'd want it to be something that would continue past this election. That remains to be seen. The notarizing it is an extra burden on people. So in conjunction with the League of Women Voters of Missouri and AACP and some individuals have filed a lawsuit to make it not mandatory to have the notarization. That is in the courts, and we actually expect an answer this week. So here it is Thursday, so I'm hoping by tomorrow we will know what the court's decision is.
All right.
Missouri's laws are pretty antiquated. We're one of only, 11 states that still has required reasons for an absentee ballot as opposed to no excuse. You know, this is something that is, we need to be thinking about that. If you look at the reasons why you are allowed to file an absentee ballot, it's very limited. People's lives are much more complicated. A person could work hours, go to school, and not be able to get to a polling place for various reasons on the one day that elections are held. And the current absentee ballot does not provide that kind of reason. The no-excuse mail ballot, which is effective for this election, actually would. So it shows the future, I think, that we need to push toward.
All right. What is your take, Marilyn? The League of Women Voters is a bipartisan group that just is expanding voter education, access to voting. Secretary Ashcroft was mentioning that there are fraud or irregularities in voting. As a journalist, I have not been able to find a lot of research that shows data that backs up concerns about voter fraud. But you can see, among politicians, they tend to be Republican. I think they're almost always Republican politicians running on the issue of voter fraud. And you have our president also presenting claims that are unsubstantiated and concerns that there might be sort of ballot harvesting or people, getting into people's mailboxes with mail-in voting. How do you and your group go about addressing voter education on issues of voter access when you have the claims of voter fraud so strong out there?
Well, the group is actually nonpartisan, so we do try to stay out of the political parties. The studies that have been done on this are in-person voting, I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. Voter fraud is so minuscule that it's almost absurd. So it's possible, I suppose, to mention, a particular like he did, like Secretary of State Ashcroft said. But, like any law, it's a law. So if you break the law, it's that there are consequences. And on the case that he quoted, clearly it was taken to task and redone. So the law works. That's why we have laws. And there are election laws. For example, if people register to vote and they are lying on their registration card, for example, if they say they're a citizen and they're not, or for some reason are not telling the truth, and Brianna can correct me on this, that is perjury. It is an offense against election law, and there are consequences, either high fines or even imprisonment. So it's not something that's going to happen lightly. People take voting very seriously. We mm-hmm. always say that the real problem is not voter fraud. The real problem is not enough people vote.
Okay. The real problem is not voter fraud. The real problem is that not enough people vote. Brianna, can you talk a little bit about this? If you heard Secretary Ashcroft's concerns about irregularities that he was seeing in some previous elections. Is that something that you think is a concern? And let me just ask you a general question, too, on what is your office focusing on right now in the run-up to the presidential election?
There are a number of touch points that maintain the integrity of the absentee process, and so that's really, we're in the throes of it right now. Absentee voting starts on September 22nd, so that's what we're doing. And the process begins if somebody's going to vote by absentee ballot or by mail-in ballot, once we've received the application, because we can't send out a ballot if we don't have an application. The application itself is vetted. It contains personal identifying information. We check it against a voter record because it has to be tied to a voter record. If the person has any changes to their address or changes to their signature or something that indicates that there's been a change from the voter record till now, like they've moved and they haven't updated their voter registration record yet, then we reach out to the voter. Until we are satisfied that that record is accurate and reflects the information on the application as well, and that it came from that voter, we don't send out a ballot. Once the ballot is sent out, the record is actually flagged as having an absentee ballot that was sent out, so that when the ballot is received back to us, it gets checked right back into that voter record, then the voter's record flag is changed to absentee ballot received. Those ballots are then kept in a locked area in our office to make sure that they're not tampered with, so they're all checked in. And then when we have our absentee judges start coming in to process these ballots 5 days out before the election, they work in bipartisan teams. They're the ones that are actually handling these envelopes, and they're the ones separating the envelopes and the ballots, so that the ballots are then kept in a locked box, and on election day we can then count all of those ballots. So there's a lot of steps involved in the process where we are checking to make sure that the ballot is only going to the person that asked for it, that the ballot coming back comes back from the voter that it got sent to, and that when they reach our office, they have a chain of custody and we can account for every ballot and count every ballot properly. So kind of as Marilyn said, these are all things that the law already accounts for, because it's really important that if we're going to do a process that affects an election, that it has a number of checkpoints and has this bipartisan check on it, the same way that we do at a polling place. Polling places all have to have one Democrat and one Republican supervisor at the very least, and you can never have more of one party than the other, and the whole reason for that is to make sure that we have accountability and a check on the election system. So with regard to absentee ballots, that's really what we're working on right now, is the number of applications we've got and making sure that we all have them checked in and ready to go for next week.
All right. Thank you, Brianna Linen, so much for that, outlining the process with that, about the security. That's Boone County Clerk Brianna Linen describing how your vote will be counted here in Mid-Missouri and in Boone County. We've been talking with Brianna Linen. We've also been talking with Marilyn McLeod from the League of Women Voters. Unfortunately, Marilyn and Brianna, we are out of time, and so we're just going to have you back here on the check-in again in the run-up to the elections, because we have much more to discuss. Thank you so much for coming on the check-in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about music. Our next guest has been a big part of the St. Louis alt-country music scene. It's kind of a big deal for decades, and his latest album tells stories about Missouri. It's called Show Me State. We'll talk with musician Kip Louie right after this. This is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. Alternative country was a new genre of music that veered away from popular country music in the 1990s. And it kind of took country music back to its roots with Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, the Carter Family values. And the Midwest, and particularly St. Louis, was connected to some of these bands that created this music and that really helped define the music scenes through the 90s right up to today, with bands like the Bottle Rockets, Sunvold, Uncle Tupelo, and all having ties to St. Louis. And our next guest has been very much a part of that scene. Kip Louie has been writing songs and recording with musicians in this St. Louis alt country scene and with various bands of his own and solo work for decades. His latest album is Show Me State. It features some Bottle Rockets musicians with him. It also features his wife, JJ, and even his son, Max, for a collection of songs inspired by the people and the places in Missouri. So all of this, I have to say, is just very much right up my alley. So welcome to The Check-In, Kip Louie. It's really nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Kip, you have described Show Me State as containing story songs and lots of Missouri characters. What is it about Missouri people and places that has inspired these songs?
Oh boy. Well, I'm a long-term resident. I grew up in St. Louis and I lived on both coasts, both the West Coast and the East Coast, but I eventually made my way back home and I've spent most of my life in the St. Louis area. And you know, I just have been observing people over the years and well, here I'll be honest. So, in this current political environment we currently find ourselves in, I wanted to write some songs that were related to that, to things I was seeing and experiencing here in the Show Me State. At the same time, I didn't want to write overtly political songs. That seemed a little too on the nose. That seemed a little too obvious, right? And then you're singing about an event that happened, you know, 2 months ago, and then the song is done. So I decided how I was going to approach this was to just kind of write songs with social commentary and sing them through the mouths of different characters that I created. Kind of like almost what, I don't know, I guess, you know, Bruce Springsteen's kind of famous for doing that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, creating characters, which was kind of new for me because usually I was singing from first-person perspective from my own experiences.
Yeah.
But this time out, of all the bands and projects I've been involved with, I decided to kind of create a cast of characters, you could say. And each of the songs I view as sort of like it's almost like a collection of short stories, you know, which with each character having their vantage point.
That's really awesome. And I think we can play a couple of the songs. That's great because a lot of them have, they have, you know, they're named after names in Missouri, like Lesterville. I think we have like first up, and we'll try to play some of this.
Oh, sure.
and give it a listen. But I love what you say about that each song is kind of a short story. That's one question I had for you is like, what examples have you listened to? I know you've been deep into music and into the music scene, and that's kind of a country thing, I think, the story song. What's influencing that besides Bruce?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in traditional country music, story songs have long been a staple of that genre. And I actually play in a country cover band on the side with the fellas from the Bottle Rockets, with two of those guys. It's their side project, and I've been a member of that band. It's called Diesel Island, and we've been together for 15 years. So I've been playing country music for a long time, in addition to rock and kind of folk rock and different aspects of rock, you know. But there's always been this country element, too, as part of what I do and kind of how I express myself musically. And yeah, storytelling is a big part of country and folk traditions. So it felt pretty natural to utilize that when I was writing these songs.
Yeah, I want to ask you a little bit more about Diesel Island and about some of the collaborations you do and so much more. But let me just take a moment to say that this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We're talking with musician Kip Louie. He's been making music in St. Louis for decades, and he's recruited some friends and fellow musicians, as he was just saying, from the band The Bottle Rockets, among other talents, for this latest album, which is Show Me State. It features people and places in Missouri in, I think, every song song, it also features his wife, JJ, and she's also a fellow musician, and their son, Max. So yeah, Kip, you do have some awesome musicians with you. How did you all begin collaborating? Tell us sort of how you met some of the guys, Brian Henneman, Mark Ortman, and John Horton from the Bottle Rockets and others, and began collaborating. Do you remember?
You know, that's a great question. I was certainly aware of those guys from their incarnation in the Bottle Rockets. You know, I used to go see them play, you know, around town in St. Louis.
And yeah.
They were like the band that made it, you know. Mm-hmm. They were the band that we all kind of looked up to. And mm-hmm. Brian Henneman in particular, his songwriting was just so cool, and I really identified with it and enjoyed Brian's songs. I still do. And through the rumor mill, I heard that that Brian was starting a country cover band on the side, you know, something to do when he wasn't out touring. And it just so happens that I had played in a country cover band called the Rock House Ramblers. So I was pretty familiar with a lot of that material that I knew he was interested in covering and kind of dabbling in. So I managed to find his email address, and I wrote him out of the blue, practically, and just, you know, kind of introduced myself and, you know, Brian, if I could be of service or, you know, help out in the band or, you know, I'd love to sing and play music with you. And amazingly, he wrote me back, and we started a little correspondence, and I became a founding member of the Diesel Island band that plays to this day in the St. Louis region. Although, you know, not a whole lot live right now because of the virus, of course.
Yes. Well, I want to ask you more about that. You know, we've got a song queued up here. I think we've got Lesterville here. Let's take a moment and just kind of listen to that. And people can hear your characters and your story songs coming out in this alt country sound with Lesterville from Show Me State. Stand by. Our producer says it's coming, or maybe it's not coming.
It's coming.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, I can tell you.
We'll keep working.
Problem.
Yeah, go ahead. What are you going to tell us, Kip?
Well, I can tell you about it. So Lesterville, there's nothing political about it whatsoever. It's mm-hmm. just, it's basically a love song, about aging and regrets. Love, aging, and regrets, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, classic subjects. Country
right.
songs.
And yep.
You were talking about Diesel Island. I mean, that was a pretty awesome cover band, considering you've got a lot of musicians who do a lot of original music, just kind of wanting to go back to your kind of country, just kind of honor your country favorites. But you also ended up doing some original work, I think, for Diesel Island. Is that correct?
Yeah, we put out an album about 3 years ago. It's just called Diesel Island. It's self-titled.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
it's also 12 original songs written by members of the band.
Okay,
Brian Henneman didn't contribute any songs to that album, but he played guitar on every track, so he's on it. But if I could do a quick plug for Kip and J.J. Louie's Show Me State, it's available on our Bandcamp site. So mm-hmm. you just go to bandcamp.com and look for Kip Louie, and it will pull it up. But you can also find it and download it and stream it on any digital platform, whether it be Amazon or Apple Music or what have you. Oh, here it comes.
Here's Lesterville. Thank you so much to producer Kyle Felling, who worked around my my problems here to make this happen. We'll listen now.
Not much beauty, not much grace. Even so, I nearly stayed, and my departure was delayed. I often wonder how you are, and I pretend it's not that far. Same, I swear you do. And in the background, a couple of kids. I'm gonna guess yours and his. I miss you, I miss my youth. Wish I could see, but here's the truth. It's 400 miles and 22.
All right, that is Lesterville from the band, the album Show Me State with Kip Louie. We're talking with Kip Louie here on the check-in. And Kip Louie has had some of his friends from the St. Louis music scene, and also fellow musician and songwriter J.J. Louie, your wife. Kip, tell us what it's like to collaborate with a wife and son, Max, on your music right now, and also in a pandemic, and also just making music together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so this is really neat. This is JJ's birthday. So,
happy birthday, JJ.
I know. I don't know if she's able to listen. She's working her day job right now, and she wasn't able to get out. But, this album is kind of her debut as a songwriter. She's actually been writing songs for a very long time, and she's written some just terrific ones. And she offered these three of hers that appeared on the record. She wrote three of the songs on the record. And then I wrote a couple of songs for her to sing lead on. And then she sings harmony on a bunch of the record, too. So it's just, that's music is how we met. We actually met at an open mic in St. Louis at a now defunct bar called Frederick's Music Lounge, which is kind of legendary in St. Louis. We met there, and I heard her sing, and I became enthralled and kind of slid over and introduced myself when she was done. And my interest in her really was professional. I just wanted to sing with her. But, you know, it didn't hurt that I thought she was really cute, too. So, I was a single man at the time, so one thing led to another. But we had a professional career there together. From the get-go, we would play as a duo around St. Louis, and eventually we became romantically involved as well. And next thing you know, we were married and had a 7-year-old son.
All right. How are you all doing right now with coronavirus? Has it changed your work and your life? And by the way, thank you so much for what you're doing. I just have to say for our listeners, because this is really, really admirable, you teach in a school right now, and you got a substitute for the half hour so that you could come out to your car and talk with us. That is commitment. We so appreciate it. So thanks from the bottom of our hearts. And also thank your substitute for us.
Jonica Turner. Yes, thank you, Jonica, for filling in for me. That's my boss. You know, she's also chipping in because she knows this is good and important and neat stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm a high school teacher by day. I'm a special ed teacher at Lindbergh High School in St. Louis. I work for the Special School District of Missouri.
Okay.
And so how has coronavirus affected the music scene? Well, I've just the same way it's affected Columbia, I would imagine. Many clubs are still shuttered. Live music, when it's happening at all, is happening outdoors and socially distanced, and as is entirely appropriate. I'm really glad to see people kind of taking this seriously and being careful and trying to protect each other, right, by not being too cavalier in their attitudes, I will say I am personally starting to play out again live very cautiously and carefully, just little front porch concerts, that sort of thing, and then people are socially distanced in front of us. So live music is starting to slowly creep back into St. Louis, but alas, some of our favorite clubs like Off-Broadway and Blueberry Hill are still shuttered.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad it's waking up a little bit. Let me just remind our listeners that you're listening to The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We're talking with musician Kip Louie. He's been making music in St. Louis for decades. He's recruited some friends and family and fellow musicians from the band The Bottle Rockets and others for his latest album, Show Me State. And Show Me State is all about Missouri, people, places, and stories in every song on Show Me State. And you can also get that at bandcamp.com from Kip Louie. Mm-hmm. Kip, you've been working so for decades in the St. Louis music scene. What are just your thoughts on the St. Louis music scene and how it's changed over the years?
St. Louis is just a really storied place, and with a deep and rich musical past. I mean, we are standing on the shoulders of giants here, those of us working today. I mean, Miles Davis, Scott Joplin, Tina Turner, just all these notable musicians across R&B and blues and gospel music. A lot of people don't realize St. Louis is a center of gospel music in the United States. And then, you know, rock and roll, and then also the genre that I'm kind of associated with which is country and alt country or mm-hmm. or Americana or however one wants to mm-hmm. would call it these days. And you know, so I like it. The music scene, I would say, is thriving, or it certainly was up until 5 months ago, you know, where things were shut down for obvious reasons. I think we're gonna, you know, live music will make a comeback. I'm predicting, but it might still be another year before people are out in the clubs again. But as for the traditions of St. Louis, you know, God, I'm so proud to be part of that tradition in Missouri. You know, just making music in St. Louis and being very mindful of the great people who have come before me that I seek to emulate and honor.
That's great. And I'm so glad that you mentioned all of those greats from St. Louis, because I think there are a lot of greats in music and literature as well that we don't think of as belonging to St. Louis, but they do. And we only have a few more seconds here, Kip, but I just wanted to ask you really quickly, too. You've stayed in Missouri all this time. It looks like the musicians from the Bottle Rockets and others have stayed in Missouri. And your music career may have been different if you'd gone elsewhere. Why did you stay in Missouri?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. I've almost moved 100 times, you know, especially when I was younger. And I did move. Actually, I lived in Seattle not once but twice. But I came back home, you know. And why did I come back home? Well, home is where family and friends are. There was something about that old river town in St. Louis that just kind of worked for me. You know, it's an inexpensive place to live. You can live reasonably well here, and you know, cost of living's good, and there's something that draws you here. There's something that draws one to St. Louis and to Missouri, I think, and keeps us here for better or worse.
Well, that's great.
Sometimes both.
Thank you so much, Kip Louie. We're glad you're here in Missouri. And, you know, we're going to go out with Defiance, another story
Defiance
from
Missouri. That's Shelby right.
State.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Kip Louie, and happy birthday to JJ. And come back and see us on the check-in sometime.
Would love to, Jana. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kip. All right. Thanks again to Kip Louie. And we wish him the best of luck with his music and his teaching and his family. And you can get his album, Show Me State. We're listening to it right now, Defiance, Missouri. That's a place in Missouri. And you can get it on Bandcamp.com if you're interested in Show Me State. Also, thanks to all of our guests this hour. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, thanks for joining us. Also, Boone County Clerk Brianna Lennon and League of Women Voters Marilyn McLeod, thank you for being with us. The Check-In is produced by Ryan Famuliner, Alicia Haywood, Christopher Husted, and me, with engineer Mark Johnson and program director Kyle Felling. We'll be back next Thursday, same time and same place. Until then, please stay well and stay in touch.